One. No? That's what he said he was doing. Good evening. I'd like to call the Planning Commission special meeting Tuesday, December 6th to order. Could I please get a roll call?
Commissioner King?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Chair George?
Here. If you could please stand and follow Commissioner Fowler Payne for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll move on to agenda review. Do the commissioners wish to revise any items on tonight's agenda?
None.
Hearing none, we'll move to community comments. This is when we invite members of the public to come speak on items not on tonight's agenda. Does anyone wish to come speak on any items not agendized? No? Hearing none, I'll close the community comments period. We'll move to written communications. The commission received two additional memos. One regarding a public hearing item and one regarding a non-public hearing item. Do we have any additional
items? No other written communications.
And we'll move on to consent agenda. We'll approve the minutes of November 15th, 2016. Do the commissioners have any revisions, corrections, suggestions?
Move for approval.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. And that'll take us to the public hearing. Item 8A, consideration of conditional use permit 16-006, the establishment of a new wine tasting room. The location is 225 East Branch Street. The applicant is Timber Winery. The representative is Greg Crabtree of 10 Over Studio. Could we please get a staff report?
Good evening, commissioners. As you stated, this is a conditional use permit 16-006, establishment of a new wine tasting room in an existing commercial structure at 225 East Branch Street. So this property is zoned Village Core downtown. Surrounding uses with its village location include commercial locations to the east, west, and south, including Phantom Wineries, several locations over to the west, and then residential development up to the north. So the project being put forward today is the establishment of a new wine tasting room and then additional various ADA improvements that we'll describe later to the structure. So as stated, the project is zoned Village Core downtown, the primary purpose of this district being to provide a combination of commercial, office, upper story residential uses and compatible related development to promote pedestrian use and enjoyment of the downtown village area. Alcoholic beverage sales are permitted with the approval of a conditional use permit. So the project site is accessed off of Branch Street. The project requires parking at 300 square feet of floor area accessible to the public. 416 square feet of the space intend to be accessible, requiring two parking spaces, which is provided for on the site, including one new ADA compliant parking space in the rear of the property. Additionally, public parking is available for the project in the LaPointe Street parking lot. Here's the site plan for the project. As you can see in the rear, you can see the parking changes being provided up there. That's currently just sort of a grassy patch, so they'll be paving over that and putting in the new parking spaces. And then interior, they'll be widening doorways for ADA compliance, as well as renovating the bathroom there. No changes are anticipated to the landscaping. As stated earlier, the parking renovations, including the new ADA spots, the widening of doorways, bathroom renovations, the existing stairway and driveway are slated to remain. The project went to the Staff Advisory Committee November 9th, 2016, in discussion with the parking and the ADA improvements, but were in general in support of the project. The project is exempt under CEQA due to Section 15301 regarding existing facilities and new uses. And public hearing notices were sent out for this project November 22nd, and the agenda and staff report were posted December 2nd. We did receive one letter today that has been distributed to the Planning Commission from a friend of the owner's who was in support of the project. The project was properly posted as per city ordinance, and it is recommended that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving conditional use permit 16-006. And staff would be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you. Do commissioners have any questions for staff? Commissioner Fowler-Payne?
Was this previously used as a wine tasting?
This property previous use was a marriage counseling office. To my knowledge, it has not been used as a wine tasting room in the past.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Martin?
I do have a couple of quick questions. On the public access area of the building itself, when you look at the drawings, it appears to exclude the restroom. To me, public access should be including the restroom. Now, that's not going to alter the overall calculations in the parking requirements, but just for clarification, when we have a public area in a building of this type, is the restrooms, the public accessible restrooms included in public area, or is it typically not included?
Per the municipal code, bathrooms are not included and accessible to the public area calculations.
Okay. And then I know that there's two parking spaces on site, and then the LaPointe parking area or parking lot was talked about as accessible or, you know, available for the other patrons, you know, going to the building. How would they get from the parking lot to this building?
So you can see here, you can access Branch Street down past the city council chambers, and then that would place you very nearby to the proposed structure over at 225, a walking path of 200 to 300 feet.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Mack?
My question was handicap accessibility. It looks like the route of travel isn't to the front door. Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's correct. So the front of the structure is currently actually accessed by a stairway with no ramp, which is so the front of the structure is not accessible. So they will be providing, they're widening the doorways in the rear of the structure to provide for handicapped entrance. Primary access is intended through the front of the entrance, but they are providing the ADA improvements in case someone does need to access through the rear of the property.
My comment is for it to truly be handicap accessible, you got to have a route of travel to the front entry. And right now it's like it's showing through the kitchen. Is that really going to be a kitchen in the future, or is it going to be a hallway, or are these the extent of the improvements?
These are the extent of the improvements in terms of the usage of those spaces I would cede to the applicant.
Comment to staff is thank you very much for showing the picture of the posting. You're going to set a new precedence. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike Cherkey.
I have no questions this time.
I don't know if this is a question for you or for the applicant. Do we have a projected traffic? Like, do we have an idea of how many people they're expecting on any given day?
I would also, again, probably see to the applicants. Typically, for new commercial structures, we don't do estimations of travel or access to the site, in my knowledge.
Those are my questions. I'd like to invite the applicant to come speak.
Hello, I'm Greg Crabtree from Ten Over Studio. And this is our client, Josh Chiasa. As far as recommended travel to the site, we have a number of estimated number of patrons. Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for vehicular travel. And I brought that note. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I don't.
Sorry, one second. I don't have that with. I don't have that note with me that was recommended. Do you remember, Chelsea, the number of?
Honestly, it's hard to say.
Or throw out a round number of how many people you would like to come each day.
It's going to be a very small tasting room. The traffic, we just won't be able to handle that number of people. We're assuming that. Oh, sorry. Our assumptions based on making the project work has between 10 and 20 patrons a day. On heavy days like Saturday, that's 30 patrons, but that wouldn't be at one time. It would be kind of filtering in and out throughout the day. It's a very small bar, so I don't think it just wouldn't be able to handle that many people.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that the use area is around just over 400 square feet, so once you get furniture in there, it's going to limit the people in that sense as well.
Did you have a presentation, anything you wanted to present to the
commission? No, we're just here to answer questions if there are any additional questions. I think Sam did a great job outlining the projects.
I saw that there was a kitchen on the premises. Do you plan to serve food as well?
No, food service is not part of what we're doing. Okay. The kitchen will merely be used to wash glassware.
Okay, perfect. Do any commissioners have questions for the applicant? Commissioner Mack?
With the wine tasting itself, is there a menu of wine, a maximum of 5 tastings? For example, if someone came in, they're there for what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half an hour?
I think people can taste between 5 minutes and a half an hour, let's say, but per the ABC rules, we're only allowed to serve ounce tastings, five or 6 1-ounce tastings to each patron, so there won't be, a large amount of consumption.
That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, it's literally a tasting room, so it's not a bar. We're not allowed to be a bar, and we don't plan on. Our wines are fairly expensive, so we don't plan on being a bar.
And then the next question, did you hear what I said earlier about noting the handicap path of travel through the kitchen?
Yes.
I don't think it works the way it is. You need 12 inches push on the push side of a door and 18 on the pull side. And going through a kitchen, it presents some problems there. You may want to consider putting the opening through the nook and maybe putting a door swing into that rear room called the sunroom to get that to work, because right now it doesn't comply. I know the building department will probably make sure it complies when it goes through plan check, but you may want to consider rerouting the handicap people.
Yeah, I understand your comment, and it's been difficult to work with the existing structure. From the front, if you talk about accessibility from the front door, that's raised up off of Grant Street several feet. It's not possible to get accessibility in there unless you were to put in a ramp that zigzagged back and forth several times from Grant Street, and I don't think the city would be in favor of that. So our option was to put some parking in. And in fact, the entire project, from a construction standpoint, is ADA upgrades. It's the parking lot and the restrooms and widening the door. So we're doing the best we can with that, and we'll work with the building official to put together a good solution.
Okay. But my comment is once they're inside or get to the front or the back door to get in, they need to be able to get all the way to the entrance unassisted. So all the doors need to meet the requirements too in the hallways.
Yes, and all those will be upgraded.
Okay. That's all my questions.
Thanks, Sherkeen. Did you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll open it up to community comments. I don't see any speaker slips. Did anyone wish to speak on this item?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. My son owns property on North Mason, so he was noticed about this, so I'm going to speak for him. Overall, I kind of think we have enough places to drink, but I do support the wine tasting, and I appreciate that they are preserving the old house, and I think that enhances Old Arroyo. So thank you.
Thank you. Did anyone else wish to speak on this item? No? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the community comments and bring it back to the commission for comments. And we'll start with Commissioner Mack.
Well, my comments, you kind of heard what my issues were. With the use itself, I think it's compatible and appropriate, being a wine tasting area. It's clearly not a bar or something that patrons are going to come and have unlimited drinking or anything like that. I think the applicant did a good job in terms of negotiating the handicap accessibility requirement. I just think it needs to be pulled all the way through, and I don't think we need to add a condition other than the building department ensure that the interior is also handicap accessible. With the door requirements and travel up all the way up to where the wine tasting area is. But I'm in favor of the improvements, and I think it'd be a good addition to the village.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Excuse me. Is the one parking space that's available on site, is that designated for handicap? Or are they going to have to go from the handicap in the public
parking
lot?
There's two spaces. There's one disabled space and one regular space.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have any comments?
No. That was all.
Commissioner Martin?
No.
Vice Chair Keane?
You should have asked us while you were up there when you started talking about parking. Do you have any parking sharing with the property next door? Parking sharing with the property next door?
No, there's no, I believe there's no parking, a shared agreement with that use. That's all I know. I know I have this email.
I noticed
from the owner that they have a detailed file on the parking credits that were paid for by. This is the owner is David and Cheryl Charlotte Gaddis, and they've paid for parking. They own that entire corner basically, and they've paid for parking in the past.
Sure.
So we can take that.
Okay. Here's my concern. Is that sign out there in front that says you can't park back there? Is that with that property now? And is that going to be removed where your customer, in fact, I don't see where a customer could even go back there if he was handicapped, because the employee that's going to be working there is going to take up the one space that you have besides the handicapped space. So I'm a little concerned about exactly saying handicap parking in the back or whatever, and nobody else, that with only one space that the owners are going to take, mm-hmm. That only leaves one space. So, you know, if you have somebody bringing occasionally during the day some deliveries or from their winery or whatever, it just makes it awful close. So a little concerned about letting any customers back there, and then having your handicap spot back there. And really, I think the drive is probably not illegal, it's not qualified to be a handicap access from Branch Street, because I think it's too steep. I don't think it meets the requirements. So you're going to have some kind of signage that takes care of.
There will be a sign on our portion of the, or on our lot, that indicates that there's accessible parking in the rear of the building.
Okay.
As far as the neighboring property, I can't really speak for them on how they...
Don't expect you to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and I would hope with just one available space other than the accessible space, the tenants may choose to park at that other parking lot and walk in and leave that available. It's kind of up in the air. Parking's at a premium in downtown everywhere.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
Other
than my concerns about some signage for that handicap spot in the back, I'm in favor of proceeding with the project.
I'm also in favor of proceeding with this project. I think it's a nice addition to the village. I like tasting rooms personally, and I think that I've had your wine, so I know that it'll be well frequented. With that said, I'm ready to move forward as well. What I heard is we needed to add to the resolution to ensure the interior also is ADA retrofitted, as well as a parking sign that says it's accessible with ADA access in the back. And I'm ready to entertain a motion.
I move to approve the resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande approving conditional use permit 16-006, establishment of a wine tasting room in an existing commercial structure located at 225 East Branch Street, applied for by Timber Winery, with the two additions or conditions of the ADA retrofit inside the building and appropriate signage for the parking in the rear.
Second it.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes. And the motion carries 5-0. Thank you so much for your time this evening. That concludes our public hearings, and we're going to move on to non-public hearing item. Item 9A, the consideration of pre-application number 16-002. The location is 207 Pilgrim Way. The applicant is the First Assembly of God Church, and the representative is Hamrick Associates. If we could please get a staff report.
Thank you, Chair George and members of the Commission. Just a couple of brief words before we go into the staff report. This is a pre-application which allows, by our municipal code, our development code, an opportunity for property owners and applicants to come before staff, committees, and the Commission to present conceptual ideas for a potential project. And as such, this project has before you for your comments this evening, comments and concerns to be able to be communicated to the applicant prior to their submittal of a formal application. So, of course, there's no action required of you this evening, comments and communication of issues to the applicant, directed to the applicant, is what is being sought. And with that, Kelly Heffernan will give the presentation.
Thank you, Teresa. Members of the Commission. The project site is located on Pilgrim Way off of Orchard Street, across from Arroyo Grande High School, and is zoned public facility. The property is adjacent to residential development to the north and south, and then Highway 101 to the east. The site is roughly 11 acres in size, and it's developed with a church, gymnasium with classrooms, outbuilding structures, and then three single-family residences, as shown on this slide. I understand that the church was originally constructed in the 1940s. I got that from the church's website. And the city has processed various land use permits throughout the last few decades to primarily allow temporary and permanent school facilities. So the applicant proposes to develop half the property with 60 apartment units, a new gym, and a sports field in two separate phases. Phase one includes development of 60 apartment units in 10 three-story buildings and then placed in groups of four. All of the units would be affordable at various income categories and separated into different types of housing. Including transitional, workforce, and senior housing. So in total, 97 parking spaces are required for phase one, and 97 spaces are proposed, meeting development code requirements. And this slide illustrates the conceptual residential building design, which is similar to the what I thought I looked on online, Spanish Revival architectural style, using a low-pitched tiled roof, rounded arch elements, stucco surface, and asymmetrical facade. The massing and project perspectives from different vantage points are also provided. Most of the parking stalls are covered with solar panels on the roofs, and green screens are provided on the south side for privacy purposes. Now, phase two of the project includes the development of a 9,600 square foot gymnasium and a roughly 55,000 square foot soccer field that will also function as a drainage basin. Parking requirements for this portion of the project is unclear at this time. For the gym, we can calculate parking based on floor area or fixed seating. So with 9,600 square feet of proposed floor area and a parking ratio of one space for every 50 square feet, the total number of spaces required would be 192. Information on fixed seating is not available at this time. For the sports field, the development code really doesn't provide a parking ratio that we can use. It is likely that a shared parking arrangement could be made where the off hours of use for the church, gym, and school would be different than the sports field. At a minimum, though, it appears that phase two of the project is underparked by about 55 spaces. So a parking study will be required as part of any formal application. So given the community facilities land use and public facilities zoning, the proposed gym and soccer field are conditionally allowed. However, the proposed high-density independent living in the housing requires amendments to the land use and zoning maps. So this slide shows the required land use applications necessary to entitle this project, including general plan and development code amendments to allow multifamily residential very high density housing at 25 dwelling units per acre, a tentative map, parcel map, or a tract map to subdivide the property into separate uses, a conditional use permit to develop the gym and soccer field, and then a minor use permit to construct the multifamily attached apartment units. And of course, all applications will be considered comprehensively through the environmental review process. The purpose of the community facilities land use category is to provide a variety of public and quasi-public uses that serve neighborhood, community, or regional needs throughout the city. These facilities are valuable to the city, but can sometimes create compatibility issues such as noise, traffic, lighting, and other issues. As proposed, the residential component would not be consistent with the community facilities land use designation. Objective LU9 of the land use element provides a general goal of providing for appropriate maintenance, development, and placement of community facilities relative to existing and planned land uses. Relevant land use policies under this objective include balancing the supply and size of community facilities with the existing and planned demand for the services they provide, and ensure that new developments provide opportunities for recreation that are proportionate with the level and type of development, and ensure that recreational uses are compatible with surrounding uses and any existing sensitive resources. So the proposed gymnasium and soccer field would be open to the public and therefore would be providing additional recreational opportunities within the community as a whole. The housing element provides numerous goals, policies, and programs related to housing. The primary goals encourage affordable housing for all income groups within the community, support diverse housing stock, and encourage special needs housing. The proposed traditional senior and workforce housing units would further assist the city with meeting its housing element goals. The project also helps to further two of the city's primary economic development element goals, including helping to create a thriving economy and addressing unmet community needs. The project does this by providing housing for the city's workforce, which is important to local businesses, and by providing recreational opportunities. The formal project submittal will require a thorough analysis of potential environmental impacts consistent with the California Environmental Quality Act. Staff identified many issues of concern regarding this project. I'll just go down the list. Water availability is an obvious issue given the current drought. Because the 2001 general plan did not anticipate residential units on this site, the applicant will need to determine how additional water will be obtained to serve the project. Options include water offsets through plumbing or other citywide retrofits and using artificial turf for the sports field. Overall water use will need to be modeled as part of the water study. Regarding sewer, considerable upgrades to the city's sewer system will be required to adequately serve the project. This includes either providing a lift station to connect the sewer main up to Castillo del Mar, or installing a new sewer main down Orchard Street to the trunk line at West Cherry and Arroyo Avenue. The gravity system is preferred over a pump station due to the maintenance requirements that are involved. The city could participate in the cost of installing a sewer main down Orchard Street, since this is included in the city's sewer master plan. Oops, I didn't want to do that. Sorry. I'm so used to clicking. Because tree removal is proposed for both phases, an arborist report will be required to identify all trees to be removed and protected and to determine tree removal mitigation. To ensure adequate fire protection, the applicant needs to loop the water system, provide an adequate emergency response vehicle turnaround, and meet California Fire Code stipulations for three-story buildings. A hydraulic and hydrology report will be required to determine adequate stormwater drainage and retention. The property currently includes a sizable drainage channel that crosses through the site from east to west. The applicant proposes to place the drainage through new culverts. This approach needs to be adequately analyzed. More information is also needed for the bridge proposed over the existing drainage channel. A traffic study is required to assess project-related impacts at the intersection of Orchard Street and Fair Oaks Boulevard, as well as other potentially impacted intersections and road segments. Right-of-way improvements will be required on Pilgrim Avenue and Orchard Street, including ADA improvements. And a parking analysis, as I've mentioned, is required for both phases. It appears that the project is short, a minimum of 55 spaces, but this does not account for shared uses. The development code allows up to a 30% reduction of the required standard for shared uses if a parking study can clearly show that the shared uses have different hours of operation that would not conflict in their time of use. A conditional use permit is required for any type of shared parking reduction. Noise and lighting impacts will come primarily from the proposed sports field and will need to be adequately assessed during the entitlement processing. So, in conclusion, the project will allow an affordable housing development consistent with the city's housing element and provide additional recreational opportunities. The project has challenges regarding water supply, drainage, noise, lighting, traffic, and parking impacts, as well as upgrades to the city's sewer system. The applicant is requesting that the Planning Commission provide comments at this time and any direction regarding the proposal, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do commissioners have questions for staff? No? Commissioner Mack, did you have a question? No? Then I'll invite the applicant to come speak, and maybe we can get a full picture before we ask our questions.
Commissioners, I'm Kevin Gottschall. I'm the pastor of the church, and essentially the vision is to take the 5.5 acres that is there currently where the apartments are proposed is a softball field that is under the lights now. It's been permitted. It's been there for years. It's over the years, the church abandoned sponsoring a softball league, and so it's just kind of fallen in disrepair. But for years, 5 nights a week, there's been softball played in the evenings under the lights. So the reason why we're proposing putting any kind of development there is because of a regulation keeping 300 feet off of a freeway. And so we decided to put the ball field there next to the freeway. There's a very old house where the gym is being proposed that we want to eliminate that, grade the area, and build a new gym. The underlying vision for this is simply we've got a piece of land. It's the vision of the church to be meet the needs in the community. The gym that we have now currently is opened during basketball season. 4 and 5 nights a week, all day Saturday, there are youth basketball games being played there. And we thought we've got the space, and if we could get a second gym in there and provide some much-needed housing and a soccer field, it's really about community involvement is what we're looking to do. And so the zoning allows, and I've got it highlighted here, that relevant allowable use for PF zoning district include churches, public parks, recreation facilities, assisted living facilities for seniors. So there is a resident element that is allowed with this zoning. And so we're just simply putting this out here as a first offer to get some feedback, what the Planning Commission would like to see with that piece of property, what we could do to be able to serve the community better. That's where we're at.
Thank you. Did the commissioners have any questions for the applicant?
Well, I just have one clarification. When she read the staff report, she indicated that the church was built there in 1940s, but I think the clarification is that historic house was 1940s. The church was built, permitted by the county and built in 1961. I was there for groundbreaking. And so that just need to be clarified on the...
Yeah, the old house where the gym goes, that's the house that was built in the 40s, and it's under a separate APN number, so that's why it's not...
And I don't recall who owned the property that the church bought that from, but they bought it in 1960s.
Yeah.
So it was wasn't farmed, but it was considered farmland at that time.
Right.
Commissioner Martin?
Thank you. I'm curious, how many years has it been since a softball game has been played there? It's been a number of years.
Probably about 5, maybe, if not a little more than that.
My daughter's 30, and she was playing softball at 7, and I know that field was not, it was there with lights, but if they were using it, wasn't being used. My gut feeling is it's probably been at least 10, if not 15 years, since I've seen any kind of softball being played there. And I'm not saying that the church hasn't used it for church socials and other things along that line.
Well, I've only been the pastor there 3 years. I'm 50 years old now, and time begins to kind of
get understood. Away from as far. I'm just trying to get a
but
clarification.
I do know that we played from the age of 20 to about 30 or so. I played, and they continue to have the league. So I don't know. I have to go back and look.
Right, it's a side issue. I don't want to make a big issue out of it. On the parcel right now, I'm going to say approximately we're building. I'm going to say between A4 and or A2 and A3. My vision isn't that good without my long vision glasses. There's a small fenced-in area in the middle of that ball diamond. Is that for something other than just an old softball use fence? Or?
Oh, correct. You mean currently?
Currently, yeah.
Currently, it would be more where next to the road there where that
correct.
Little jet.
Correct.
That
correct.
Was a playground area fenced-in playground for, for kids to play during softball games.
Because I couldn't tell whether there was, you know, a water well or a fenced-in storage area, but I saw the fence and the weeds and the grass, and I'm going,
There is a water well. We're out there towards the freeway. It's an abandoned well, probably about an 8-inch.
That's not in current use?
It's not a current use.
And so that's abandoned, functionally abandoned already, will continue to be abandoned?
Correct.
You're not expected to be using it to water the artificial turf on the, on the new one?
Exactly, right. And as far as retention water, the watershed from this piece of property and the development, our plans are to put artificial turf on the soccer field and do subterranean underneath that field for the water retention percolation back in the groundwater.
Very good. Those are the questions that I've got now.
Sure.
Great, thanks. I've got a number of comments, but I think I've got my questions answered. Thanks.
Great. Vice Chair Keene, do you have any questions?
Just a quick question. Since you've only been here 3 years, you may not know. That water well, when we approved the rebuild of that in 2008, I think it was, it's on here. Yeah, 2008. Was it metered? Do you have any idea how much water that well was pumping?
No, it was not metered.
And you haven't used it for some time?
Not used it for some time.
Since you've been there?
Correct. It was abandoned prior to me getting there.
Thank you.
But there was an effort to refurbish it. There was an effort to refurbish the field, and it became cost prohibitive from the senior pastor's standpoint that was before me, and they abandoned that effort to refurbish the field.
Just one other question. The Phase 2 gym, you're not intending to convert the existing gym to some other use by building a new one, are you? That's
The long-term goal is if we outgrow the sanctuary, the current gym could be our new sanctuary if the church grows to that point. If not, we would love to have two gymnasiums and see families and kids playing there all the time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just trying to get what the plan is because it affects the parking situation. And that's where we're looking at problems.
But if the whole thing, being that the whole thing is our piece of property and Sunday services are pretty much when the church parking is being used, the rest of the time in the evening it is off-hour switch use, so you've got another 97 spaces that could be shared use.
Right, absolutely, and I agree with that. But as a matter of fact, that housing group there has to have enough of its own. It can't share over there because that could be a separate project someday. Divide it off, and we want to make sure that on your shared parking facilities that you're talking about here.
The event that the existing gym becomes a sanctuary.
In the long run, but I'm talking about right now with this project, there has to be enough parking for the housing part on its own.
And I think in the staff report, it indicates that the housing itself has the required spaces.
Yeah.
The issue would be when the gymnasium and the ball field is, that's where it's up in the air.
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
Thank you. That's all I have.
While they're dealing with mics, I'll ask you some questions.
Sure.
I was going to ask staff first. I had asked Kelly earlier this afternoon to give me the square footage and number of parking spots available for the Soto Fields.
Yeah, I had our GIS person, Cammie, she was still at work, and so she was able to pull this together. So, let's see. Hold on one second here. There it is. So what she did was she looked at just the existing fields, not Elm Street Park. So she looked at all these fields and looked at the parking here along Ash Street and then the parking next to Don Roberts Field and counted all of those spaces. So this is real rough, but the estimate is that all of these fields add up to 15.56 acres. There's 206 parking spaces. None of those spaces are handicapped. That equates to 13 spaces per acre. And with the proposed soccer field with this pre-application, 55,000 square feet, that's 1.26 acres. And if you use the same ratio, it would require 16 spaces. But again, you know, this is just one example, just to provide you with some kind of idea. They would need to do a full-fledged parking study.
Right. And the reason I ask is Soto is so under parked that over-parked. There's never parking there, so that gives us an idea, since the report said there was no adequate way to gauge a soccer field, we can use the Soto field as a gauge for ourselves. So if Soto is 13 per acre and that's highly inadequate, then 16 per acre may not necessarily be enough. So that's just something that you might want to consider during your planning process. I just wanted to ask you a more general question. How did you come about senior living, transitional? How did you come about choosing to go with apartments for this area?
How do we come up with the categories or
the thought, the mindset behind it?
Well, because as I hire staff, one of the major prohibitive issues is housing. And I don't know if anyone's aware of it, but rent's pretty high and the pickings are slim. And so knowing that one of the allowed uses was senior assisted living, we thought, well, maybe we could see if there was some variance there that we could, you know, get an approval to put some general housing there. And then looking at some of the basic needs, our denomination has a ministry called Teen Challenge. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. One of their biggest needs is once we're tied in with Ventura Teen Challenge, which is the Women's Center. One of the biggest needs is once they go through the program, they're done and they have to go back into the real world. And their options are going back into the environment that got them in trouble to begin with. And the director of the Ventura Teen Challenge said, boy, what a great thing we could have. We could have a few apartments somewhere that we could send these women, after they're done with the program, a place where they can transition back into, find a job, have an address where they can receive mail, and then find permanent residency. So there would be maybe 8 to 10 at the most of maybe the one-bedroom apartments that would be available for transition. I know that there's some buzz going around that what does transition mean? Well, to clarify, what in my mind, what we want to do with transition is just that. Senior would be to try to stay in compliance with what is the zoning allows. And then again, workforce housing, folks that have good old-fashioned regular jobs that need an affordable place to stay.
So are these buildings owned by the church and will be remaining under the church umbrella, where you'll manage the rentals, or do you plan to sell it after it's built and have someone else manage it?
No, we envision owning it long-term. And what we want to do, they're called People Self-Help, the group that built and manages the project on Cortland. Mm-hmm. That group is interested in this project, where they would vet the applicants, make sure the income requirements are meeting. They would manage it. But we would own it. We have no desire to sell it once it's built.
And so would you give them a set of criteria for the transitional? Or will the People Self-Help do that as well?
Well, we as the church mm-hmm. would probably manage the transitional side of it, okay, because we're tied in with the Ministry of Teen Challenge in Ventura. But the other houses, the other apartments, and the seniors and workforce housing, that the management company would take care of that.
Okay. Those are my questions for now. Commissioner Mack?
I need to borrow your mic.
Thank you. Oh, this one works. A couple questions, and I'll start with the easy one. The gym and the existing gym, is that really a multi-purpose space, or is it really exclusive for a gym? is it a cafeteria, performances? You do lots of different activities in those, or?
No, right now it's a gym. It is. We've done some renovations on the inside to create fixed bleacher seating along one side of the basketball court. And occasionally we may have a larger gathering in there, but it's pretty much a gymnasium, volleyball, and those types of things.
Okay. And then along with that, is it exclusive use for your church, or is it open to the public as well?
Oh, it's open to the public year-round. If we have soccer coaches coming in late Wednesday nights and doing futsal drills. We've got, like I said, basketball. We've even opened it up to softball teams to come in wearing tennis shoes to practice throwing on rainy days. I mean, if our vision is community, community, community. So if the community is a place to meet and we've got the space, we open our doors.
Okay. So moving on to the tough one, being the housing.
Sure.
And Lon hit it on the head. What I was going to ask is, how do you define transitional? In my mind, when you use that word, it's like a stepping stone, if you will, to move on in a certain period of time. Were you thinking about putting a limit of 3 months, 6 months, a year? How do you?
Great question.
You brought up the Cortland project. And that was pretty much done like the lottery system, first come, first serve. But Right. Those people never have to move out for 30 years if they don't want to.
Correct.
So how do you cater to more transitional, needy families?
Again, those units would be managed by us in conjunction with the Teen Challenge Ministry. So they have a one-year program for their initial program. Then they have another year program for ministry training. Then after that, they have nothing. And so this would be an extension of that ministry, and that would be probably, when they come in, it would be a 6 months to 1 year at the absolute most they could stay there. Hopefully they would find a place and a job within 3 to 6 months. But we envision not having someone live there more than one calendar year.
Okay. And then I know you were saying using people's self-help housing to determine the families that would meet the criteria to move in. Are you going to be in control of that criteria? Is it? I mean, who establishes that criteria, or would you do it in conjunction with what the city's needs are as well?
Well, that's why we're here. We're wanting to know what the city looking to do, needing to do. We've got land. We're thinking, here's an opportunity to serve our community. This is why we're here. What are the inputs that the Planning Commission is looking to meet the needs of? And that's what we're trying to do.
And then the next question was, how you arrived at the 60 units? Was there some magic to that, or did you already have a pool of maybe 60 families looking?
No. 60 units based on spacing. We know it's high density, but we didn't want to. There's a height limit, you know, here at ordinance. We didn't get one of them crammed in there to where they're just so close that it's unappealing. We wanted them to be spread out a little bit, and using the amount of space that we have with road parking, all of that, that's about the most that we could get in there. So it's 60 units, and then B there, the small little building B would be a clubhouse. Open gathering place for folks to have parties and whatnot. And again, we would control that. That would be open to the public as well.
Okay. This question might be more for staff. I'd like to know more information about the drainage channel. And does that flood? Are we in a flood plain? Is it planning to go underground? Can anyone give more information about the drainage channel?
Well, we did take this to the staff advisory committee, and engineering staff did discuss the existing drainage, and basically it just comes down to they're just got to show how it's all going to work. They got to show the calculations. They got a pretty large drainage swale running through that property. So it comes down to, as I said, the numerous studies that need to be completed prior to moving forward with this project, and drainage is certainly one of them.
Is that a fish and wildlife issue?
Well, that would be vetted through the environmental review process when we refer out to responsible agencies. That's when they would provide their comments. And whether a 401 permit is required, I don't know. They'd have to let us know that.
So that kind of leads me to my next question. I know that they're depressing the soccer field to hold the retention on site, so they wouldn't be adding water to that drainage channel, for example.
Well, I can answer that. The plan is to not just make it a culvert where the water transfers, but create a percolation system within the bottom of the culvert, so you don't have just a simple transfer of water from point A to point B. Along the route of the culvert, you would have a percolation system within that channel. The soccer field is depressed in order to bring dirt out of there to build up where the apartments would be. Because okay. It is in a floodplain. It would need, I think the study came back one time, previous pastor looked into it, and it needed to be raised up about a foot and a half is what it came back.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you. It's going to be real interesting to hear what the public has to say. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Getchell.
I had one question for planning. Is there a required setback for transitional housing from public school?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Is there a required setback for transitional, using that term, transitional housing? Is there a required setback for transitional housing from public school?
No.
Or private school?
At this time, we do not have that defined in our development code, so no, there is no setback.
Do the commissioners have any other questions?
I have two, and they're not related. And when I heard the pastor talk about trying to get the exact wording here, and I lost it, but talking about the assisted living facilities for seniors, would you give me a definition of assisted living? Because assisted living to me means you're in a facility that has full-time assisted, not apartments. So the senior saying that this meets senior, this criteria for the land use assisted living doesn't fit this project. And that's what I just want to know for sure if we're doing the right thing here.
Yeah, senior housing is what is being proposed as independent senior housing, which is not assisted senior living. There's also convalescent, so there's different categories and they have different definitions, but it basically assisted housing, they provide the meals, they have to have some kind of medical, but it's not full-fledged like convalescent. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm not against having senior facilities here, but I don't want to say that it's assisted senior because that doesn't meet the criteria of the wording of mm-hmm. of the thing. Have we had any studies done or any observations of that flow, that flood drainage flow, since the project was built across Dickens property and then across Cherry Lane or Cherry Street or whatever you call that property down there into the river that was to divert all that or a lot of that water going across there? I just wonder how much water is really whether it's flooding across there anymore since that project was put in.
Since you're referring, I believe, to the Newsom Springs
yes.
drainage study
yes.
that was done some years ago, and Some study has been done in relation to the projects at the Rio Grande High School and also our Castillo del Mar road extension. This project would, as Kelly mentioned, require its own study, but it would be anticipated that the impacts regarding regional drainage that this channel used to have to accommodate would be reduced significantly because the Newsom Springs drainage project has been constructed. Yep. Nonetheless, there is another drainage area apart from Newsom Springs that I believe feeds into this, and so that would have to be analyzed.
Thank you. And I think that changes the dynamics of this drainage here, since we have had a project to divert a lot of that water in another manner. At one time, I'd seen that completely flood the high school and on down to the fields and everything. So I was kind of curious how effective that new system is working. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
So at this time, I'll invite the public to come speak on this item. I know you all have a lot of questions and comments. And we'll start with a duo that requested to come speak together. So Cindy Naber and Linda Pierce. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Cindy Naber, and I'm Director of Facilities at Lucia Mara School District. And we are both here tonight on behalf of Superintendent Renee Daly and her cabinet, who could not attend tonight because we do also have our board meeting at the same time. Chairperson George and fellow commissioners, please consider the following concerns expressed on behalf of Lucia Mara School District to pre-application number 16002, located 207 Pilgrim Way, First Assembly of God Church, Hamrick Associates. The applicant proposes to develop 5.5 acres with 60 apartment units, a new gym, and a public sports field in two phases. One existing home and a storage structure would be removed as part of the new development. Phase one includes development of 60 apartment units divided into three categories, including transitional housing, senior housing, and workforce housing. According to a web resource for finding solutions for homelessness, transitional housing refers to a supportive yet temporary type of accommodation that is meant to bridge the gap from homelessness to permanent housing by offering structure, supervision, support, for instance, addictions and mental health, life skills, and in some cases, education and training. It is this housing that Lucia Mara Unified School District has concerns about. Student safety has been and will always be Lucia Mara's number one concern. As noted in a letter to Mr. Kevin Gotchel, pastor of Pacific Christian Center, and Ms. Teresa McClish, Director of Community Development for the City of Rio Grande, dated May 23, 2016, the Lucia Mara Unified School District has strong concerns about the site being used for transient and homeless individuals. We feel strongly that the development of transitional housing in the proposed location poses a real and dangerous threat to our students. The path of travel to and from the proposed location is on the sidewalk adjacent to Rio Grande High School. If any of the individuals being housed in this proposed development have history of violence, sex offenses, issues with drug addiction, or unresolved mental health, the proposed location is too close to a school for it to be deemed safe. Thank you.
My name is Linda Pierce. I'm the Director of Student Services for Lucia Mara. Traffic flow is an additional concern. The location of the proposed development, with its proximity and traffic flow affecting the intersection of Fair Oaks and Orchard Way, and subsequently Orchard Way and Traffic Way, poses an unmitigated negative impact on the traffic patterns associated with the beginning and ending of Arroyo Grande High School each day. The ingress, egress, and regress of those occupying the apartments in the development would impact the already heavy traffic congestion that occurs at the beginning and the end of each school day. This negative impact would pose an additional safety concern for the students in our school district. The negative impact of the increased traffic is not simply the opinion of Lucemar Unified School District. In a letter sent to John Rickenbach, City of Arroyo Grande Community Development Department, the California Department of Transportation also weighed in on the impact of the same intersection in our town. In this letter, it was noted that Caltrans does not support the following less than significant finding, no mitigation needed, determined for the Trans 6 impact for reasons included and not limited to points stated above. While the city found that the impact of traffic for the project to be less than significant, Caltrans in the letter cited above could not support that finding. Beyond the safety concerns that have the potential to negatively impact our students and our community, other concerns need to be addressed by the Planning Commission and eventually the City of Arroyo Grande. Full disclosure of impact on water, city sewer system, and our local police department need to be addressed. And finally, community engagement and input from the neighbors to the proposed project who may be impacted by the influx of the development is a must. While the currently proposed project admirably addresses some very real needs of San Luis Obispo County, we call for full discussion, disclosure, and impact studies that fully vet the pros and cons of the said project. Thank you for your consideration of these critical concerns.
Thank you. Shirley Gibson. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. One thing I wanted to bring up, because maybe I don't know something, but this seems like a church-state issue, too. I don't quite know how or if churches get in the apartment business, if they're tax-exempt. I don't quite understand that. I'm also concerned that public facility zoning is the same zoning as the Methodist campground, so I hope that's not going to be the fate of that property. Overall, I feel like this is underparked and overbuilt. Three-story buildings are very uncommon in Arroyo. Plus, you have, with the closeness, kind of has the urban canyon look, in my opinion. A lot of the proposals are pretty vague about the apartments. For instance, what does transitional mean? What does senior mean? I think a lot of the information is vague. And lastly, the traffic issue. I know I read somewhere that maybe this project would contribute to the road that is going to be behind the high school and connect to Valley Road. Not sure exactly where that road goes, but it seems to me that doesn't really solve any of the problems, because the only people that would go onto Valley Road are the ones that are going to Oceano, maybe Halcyon, Los Barrios. So essentially, you're taking public facility zoning, wanting to change it, and go from basically 0 to 60 apartments. And right next to the school, which is one of the biggest traffic problems that we have, and then everything is going to funnel down to Orchard. And you know, how does that happen with the high school right there? It seems like you're just creating a bigger monster than we have. So anyway, and I still have questions about the church-state issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank Loversby?
My name is Frank Loversky, and I live in the Vista Del Mar unit just above this proposed plan. We have several concerns as we read it. First, we need and we must have community input. We would like to be involved in what you're planning on doing with that property. We think the design is not compatible. Three-story units in a residential neighborhood just don't work. I mean, we're residential there. We're not apartment dwellers. So three stories is just a little bit too much. The density is a real issue. With 60 units, we're talking about 120 car spaces alone. Give me a family residence, and they're going to have two cars per family at least. We're talking about adding in that small space 150 to 250 residents. We're talking about extreme traffic problems. We have them now. I mean, when we add 120 cars, 100 or plus cars, in and out of there every single day with the traffic that's taking place at the school, it's just going to be an impossible situation. The water usage is critical. In our association, we're just converting some of our grass areas for lower water usage. And here you are going to add all of these units and additional water. You're talking about trade-offs on water, but trade-offs don't necessarily work. We have to reduce the use of water. And, you know, this type of usage is just way too much for this area. The sports parking facility for sports is also inadequate. When there's an event taking place, whether it be basketball or whether they're going to be soccer, I mean, the parking problems will be overwhelming. So we would like you to address all of these issues that I've just discussed with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Bob Larson.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm Bob Larson, and I'm a neighbor of Mr. Loversky nearby. To some extent, what I'm going to say is redundant, but and out of a generally subjective thing particularly related to transitional housing, I'd like to say that the objective part is I've worked with Teen Challenge for many years. I'm a writer, television writer, direct mail writer, have raised a lot of money for Teen Challenge, and each year I probably interview up to 200 to 300 people, either in homeless situation or food banks, whatever, and this is my hopeful contribution to our society. My challenge is, and this is a strange thing to say, but as much as I love Teen Challenge, it does have a checkered result. Many people I interview say, I've been in Teen Challenge, but it didn't work. Many say, I'm in Teen Challenge, and it worked. My challenge is because these are individuals essentially who have had substance abuse issues, and many of them, in fact, do not recover, even though it's always our hope, even when I write on their behalf, that they do. And to have the proximity to the school is a real concern of mine. And I say this with a heavy heart in a lot of ways because I applaud what this organization does. But I just would hope, and I think it's already been addressed this evening, that as you look at this, that you look very seriously at that part. Don't know anything about environmental and these other issues. These the experts have talking about that. But I talk from an objective experience. And again, I can't give you statistics, and that's not my purpose tonight. But it's an overall sense that we just need to be very careful. Teen Challenge is a fantastic organization. I'm just not confident that this is the locale. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Patty?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'm wondering, first off, these are just going to be a lot of questions. If the city sent notices to the surrounding neighbors, I think it's imperative that you have the neighbors who live there involved early on. I saw in the report, and I didn't get a chance to really read it, but it said that there would be no direct cost to the city related to this project. And I don't see how that is even possible when you're talking about sewer lines and everything else. The city, this was never planned for residential. So the city never planned on putting sewer lines out there. So there will be a cost to the city. And I know the city isn't hitting budget right now. So that is a concern. So this land was not zoned residential. How many times are we going to change the zoning so a developer can come into town and build houses? We are in a water shortage. I've heard the council say over and over again how we're building at 1% of our growth rate and that they've got it all figured out according to the general plan and everything else. But that's a moving target when you're taking land that wasn't zoned for residential and now you're making it residential. There's not enough water right now. We really need to consider that, because if we don't get water in 2 years from now, where are we going to be? What about the fire department, police department, streets, and water? Are we just going to keep adding to our residential base without considering if our local staffing levels are adequate? And what about the sanitation district? They're trying to get a redundancy plan in place. We're pushing 30-year-old equipment out there that had a lifetime expectancy of 25 years. We can't just keep pushing and putting more sewage their way and expecting it to continue. So I think we need to look into that. We will be adding more traffic to Fair Oaks, and yet we do not have the funds for the existing solutions. And we don't have enough funds right now for the existing area. And the young lady from the school district said the Caltrans has a problem with what was planned out there, and she said it very well. So I think that we do have a problem there. What about the residents who bought out there? They bought a home, and they were told this land was slated to be used for X, Y, and Z. Now there's a possibility three-story buildings are going to come in and more gyms, transitional care. Let me tell you, as much as we'd like, people don't kick drugs or alcohol drinking the first time around. I'm going to wind up. Also, it says that there'll be a conflict of interest with a lot of that stuff out in a residential area. Again, these people bought out there expecting they knew what the city was going to have around them, and I think we should honor that. Inadequate parking. I mean, we know that Soto Fields is not parked well enough, and that pretty much does it. I think there are a lot of questions that we'd seriously need to look at, but this was not zoned residential, and we don't have the water. Thank you.
Thank you. Kate Carson?
Thank you. Kate Carson, Via Forens. I live behind the proposed project. Thank you all for a thankless job. I did some time on the Pismo Planning Commission several years ago when I lived there, and I appreciate you being here. I don't want to go over everything that everybody else has already, but I do want to address my personal experience. I have a child who got involved in heroin, and it didn't happen until after she was out of AG High School. I thought we were moving along nicely in our lives, and this happened to her around 22 years old. She went to rehab. It didn't work. We came home. We went round and round a few times. She got a job. She wrecked some cars. She went back to drugs. It's not a good recovery, unfortunately. I had to make the hard decision as a mom to set her things out 2 years ago, and that was not just to protect my own family, but that was to protect my own neighborhood. It was the most difficult thing I've done in my life. And hopefully she'll grow. Hopefully she'll find a place to be. But I don't believe, as much as I believe in the program of Teen Challenge, that we have any business offering these children a place in a particular neighborhood that's this close to the high school. And that's a problem for me. The other thing I have is the zoning we've already talked about. But if there's something to be done, perhaps it is with the gymnasium and the soccer fields. If there's a compromise, I will say I've lived there for 7 years. There's never been a light on in any of the fields at the church that I've ever seen. But I'm used to the marching bands and the wee hours of the morning, and that brings me joy. I love the fireworks and the crowd noise of the games at the high school. So maybe the less expensive endeavor would be, you know, to use the land for what it is zoned for. And hopefully even that needs to be something that's minimally fiscally neutral instead of having an impact on us. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob Keem.
My name is Rob Keim. I am the priest or pastor at St. Barnabas Episcopal Church here in AG. I want to commend Pastor Kevin and his church for their beautiful vision and generosity for exactly what we need in our community. We need this type of housing. We're probably not going to be able to get it in other ways, except when we have someone being so generous. So thank you.
Thank you. Leanne Akins.
My name's Leanne Akins. I live at 608 Cornwall Avenue, resident of Arroyo Grande. I'm not necessarily in favor of building anything in AG. I get up here on a regular basis, both at Planning Commission and Council, and talk about the dire straits that we're in with regards to water. My feelings on that hasn't changed. But I think Pastor Keim is correct. No other developer is coming forth to provide the kind of housing that this project brings forth. No city officials, no general plan. Nobody's held developers' feet to the fire with regards to providing housing that is truly affordable for probably groups of people who are quite frankly getting priced out of this area. We tout that we want to have affordable housing. We don't have affordable housing in AG. The housing that is now going to be probably built on East Cherry and Traffic Way, not affordable housing. I'm at the median income level. I will never be able to afford a $500,000 house here in AG. The house that I can afford is way below that. We're talking $300,000 or lower. This is the kind of housing that AG needs. We need to make room for people who can't afford to go anywhere else, truthfully. And as far as the Teen Challenge piece is concerned, I don't have kids who were addicted, but I taught high school for 23 years. And in those 23 years, I came across a lot of high school students who had issues with drug abuse. Some of them are graduates of Teen Challenge, and some of them made it, some of them did not make it. But I think at one point, we have to ask ourselves, what other services is this community, not just AG, but the County of San Luis Obispo, providing for people who are desperate to change their behavior? Thank you.
Thank you. Did anyone else wish to speak on this item?
I'm Jan Rattery, and I live on West Cherry, down. And I've lived there 32 years. When we bought, it was a small neighborhood. As far as that field being used for baseball, it was at one time. There was sufficient parking because the road didn't go anywhere. It dead-ended there, and so everyone parked there. But there's serious issues at the intersection getting out of the neighborhood. It can take me 25 minutes from my house right there to get out of the neighborhood. It can take me 45 minutes to get out of my neighborhood, get down to Harlow, same traffic, and get back home to pick up my granddaughter. And so there's a lot of issues. The plan seems great in certain ways, but we have night school. We have football games. We eventually went to permit parking in the neighborhood because the homeowners couldn't even park. There was no parking because all the high school students were. We have little kids in the neighborhood. And it's really difficult with all the traffic. It was a small, little, closed-off residential. And now we've already built the houses above us. How it is that church traffic comes down Arroyo, down West Cherry. So it's not just going down Orchard. It's kind of affecting the whole neighborhood. People come in on California for the school. So everything is totally impacted. And I just don't think the neighborhood can take much more. The off-ramp's terribly dangerous. It's backing up onto the freeway when you try to get off there at Fair Oaks. And that's a danger to the kids, the amount of accidents that they have at that intersection. I've been involved in 3 accidents. The last one, I had a student smash into the side of my car, break the side mirror off. There's just so much traffic there. I don't think it can accommodate that much more. I mean, I have to admit, my granddaughter goes to the gym for basketball. But they run a preschool. They've got preschool traffic. You've got night school traffic, all sorts of traffic with activities. It just can't take much more. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak?
Good evening. My name is April Dore. I live in Arroyo Grande. And I understand that you're here tonight and the applicant's here tonight just to get some feedback at this point. There's no approval of a project. There's a lot, though, that maybe you could instruct them to look at, work on, make plans for, traffic, water, et cetera, as we all know. There's a lot of traffic that we're looking at to this project. And if 51 homes on East Cherry was going to have such a negative impact at the Fair Oaks off-ramp, tell me this would be better? There's no way this would be better. So please really consider the traffic in this area. The other thing that I wanted to ask was, well, I thank you for taking public comment on this item tonight. It's under non-public hearing items. And the last time I went to a commission meeting, this same title, non-public hearing items, was on the traffic study, and you took no public comment. So I don't understand why we take it on some and why we don't when it's called a non-public hearing item. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak on this item tonight?
Could I just follow?
Yes.
We want to be good neighbors. And this is simply, we're offering our land as to the community of the Five Cities area to say, what could we do here that would meet needs? If this needs to be scaled back, if we need to go just with a assisted senior living with what the zoning is and a field, and we're here to just open a discussion. And I want to encourage the community to know that we would not press to build this until we're out of this drought. I just simply want to have a conceptual approval, go through the city council process to say, look, here is a concept when it's right, the right time to build. And even if we flip the phases, if phase one was a new sports facility with parking and any kind of residential, regardless of what we call it and how many there are, those could be issues that are down the road several years. So just so that folks know that we're not here to, the bulldozer's not waiting on the off-ramp trying to build tomorrow. So I am totally aware of all of these issues, and I'm open for discussion on what would be the best use of that facility to meet the needs of the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Did anyone else wish to speak tonight? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public comment and bring it back to the commission for comments and suggestions. So we'll start with Vice Chair Keene. Did you want to start?
Sure. Just a quick question for Teresa. What is the status of the proposed road at Castillo del Mar?
That road is in design right now. It's getting closer in design. We hope to be able to go out for bids soon and get construction. And this, again, is the extension of the road, Castillo del Mar, behind the high school. And it will tee into Valley Road, intended to help circulation and being constructed with funds from the new development at the heights of Castillo del Mar.
Thank you. I really believe that this project couldn't work at all without that road being completed, not just contributing to it. It needs to be completed. I want to thank the church for presenting a project like this. One of the real concerns that we have is lower income housing for our residents and workforce housing, etc. I have concern about having any of it transitional housing. If we could eliminate that, I think it would satisfy a lot of the concerns with the school district and neighborhood. If it would just be senior and workforce housing, I think would be a lot better. I also would like to have you put some input when you come forward with a project of reducing them to two-story buildings instead of I think the density warrants that for that neighborhood. And I'm sure you've read the staff report and understand that all the problems that have to be addressed, the traffic, the water, the drainage, the whole gamut, and it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of reports to satisfy this project. But I'm not for scrapping this. I think that it's a benefit to the community, and I hope that the traffic reports and things work out that where it can work. And I understand about the traffic conflict with the schools, but a lot of the traffic, people going to work, probably are the same time that kids are going to school. But most people coming home from work, the school's already, that traffic's already gone. So the traffic study will address that, and I think the primary route out of that, even though it goes on to Valley, I think that it's not much farther. In fact, I think it's shorter for somebody to leave this project and go that way than it would be the other way. So. All in all, I'm for you proceeding with this and making some adjustments and coming back with a project that we can hopefully get in the queue here. Thank you.
Commissioner Mack.
Thank you for the mic. Again, we're not approving a project tonight. This is constructive criticism. It's a plot plan review. It's setting the image, is this a need? Is this something that the applicant wants to move forward with? So with that said, I think the density pretty much is going to work itself out with environmental review of what can occur on here. And just as a something we can compare to, I believe the People's Self-Help Project, staff, correct me if I'm wrong, is that like 32 units?
36.
36 units. So in essence, this is double the size of that, just so we can get that kind of grasp. And I heard day one, when people self-help housing opened up, I mean, even months before it was occupiable, it was full. And I heard, gosh, we can use another one. Why don't they just mirror that again on the Cortland project? It is a need. It's a real need of the community to house. So now the issue with me is transitional. To me, transitional doesn't necessarily mean one type of group of people. There's lots of needs. There's people who get divorced. There's people who lose their job. We can't look at them as all, you know, sex offenders or druggies or whatever you want to label it. That's really not what we're providing here. We're providing a need to the community. People are down and out for different reasons and need housing. So the question remains is, you know, public facility, is this an appropriate land use category to consider things other than assisted senior housing? Definitely assisted senior housing is something which, you know, there's beds, the seniors need help moving around, their breakfasts are made for them, their lunches are made for them, they have things like medicine on site are brought, there's buses that take them to activities, those sorts of things. This is a unique opportunity to probably provide something first of its kind in a residential, if you will, complex. I wouldn't necessarily even call it apartment living. I think you can even take it further. Design-wise, I understand why you put the soccer field. That's probably not my desired location where I'd want to put it, but I'm thinking because of the 300-foot setback from the freeway is the reason why it's there and the housing's not over at the other side. My concerns are we setting the paving the way for the parcel to the south now to become residential development? So there's ways around that by not allowing this to become something that could be sold and rented by a developer or this, that, or the other thing. Also the drainage, the way it bisects the lot and the parcel, it really limits the ability to have a cohesive expansion of the church and the gym. It's like, well, what side of the line do you put the building? So for that reason, I do see a component such as transitional housing being an asset. Density. Do we need a lot of units? Yes, we do. Is this the location to put 60? I don't think so. I think there needs to be some balance. For me, I would also like to see another couple buildings added, maybe small little buildings that could be used for counseling, that could be used as a community center to help these people get back on their feet, a place that they can come together and have group sessions and things of that nature. I think it could even be more powerful than just a place just to live and set your hat. Parking. I want to talk about parking a little bit. I don't necessarily agree that we have to look at how Soda Sports Complex is parked. It is a problem. I think it's a good tool to see how much parking is being used, but here again, there's several fields going on. There's several teams, and there's several teams using each field each day, so you have this overlap of new teams coming in and teams leaving. What's the possibility of more than four teams? I would see two teams out there at one time of, 15 individuals and their parents. So I'm thinking 30 cars. I'm just throwing a number out. But what I'm thinking is you really need to look at how it's being used, not just compare it to a public sports facility that has several fields being used by the whole community all at once. I don't see that as applicable here. Again, with transitional housing or special needs housing and stuff like that, I would probably revisit the parking again because I don't necessarily agree families, they usually have one car that they're sharing amongst everyone. I would hate to overpark it, even though I know there's been a big parking need over at the Cortland project, but that's a different type of housing than what I'm envisioning this. I totally see this as lower income. It's fantastic in terms of your rental rates that you want to establish and how you want to put this together. I'm hoping that gives you some information from my perspective, and then again, I'm just one perspective. Thank you for bringing this project to us.
Commissioner Martin.
Thank you. I too want to applaud the church for bringing this to the and utilizing this pre-application process to inform some of the people in the community. The pre-application process doesn't require informing the neighbors and stuff, including the school district within that 300 feet. And I would agree this would be a great example of all the houses up the hill, whether they're 298 feet away or 398 feet away. From the comments that we've all heard tonight, there's obviously a lot of work and a lot of study that's going to needs to be done and will be done. One of the soapboxes that I get on is how do we educate the community on changes in development and things of this nature. There's no doubt in my mind that there will be, you know, workshops and meetings and an awful lot of research that's going to go on. The project will be vetted at these workshops and by the various agencies and departments that are going to be involved, whether it's, you know, Caltrans and traffic and engineering and water and sewage and all of those things. I'd rather not do that anymore tonight, as long as we, you know, with the clear understanding there will be a number of workshops and stuff that's going to need to take place in order to get this project really to see the light of day and to get it vetted appropriately in the community. Another one of my big priorities is housing. We certainly have a sorely inadequate supply of low income and affordable housing in this community. My concern, even as strong a priority as housing is, that the zoning on the church and the zoning at this location and the historical use here, I don't see this as an ideal location for this type of activity. Here again, it's premature to say it can't be done or won't be done under any kind of guidelines, but I think that the workshops and the vetting and the compromising that is undoubtedly take place will illuminate this quite a bit. Assuming you're motivated to pursue the project in some fashion, the other issues around traffic, I know we're going to need to be dealt with. Parking's going to need to be dealt with. The concern I have is there does appear to me to be it's really incomplete rather than inadequate is going to be my comment on phase two. And for me, I would want to see that the parking for both phase two and phase one was addressed before phase one. I'd hate to see phase one developed and then come back in the future and say, oh, even though it's inadequate, we still want to do phase two, and we're going to kind of back in to, you know, the parking to be what it is. Shared, unshared, numbers, whatever it needs to be. I'm in favor of getting the parking and the phasing of these projects vetted and approved early on before they're actually constructed. I'm curious and concerned about the, you know, stormwater and things of that here again. The one thing that's interesting to me is that noise. With the football games and the fireworks that are going on and music and other things like that, I can't imagine noise being additional noise being a real issue. So in that regard, maybe noise is not, certainly from my standpoint, is not a big a priority. But those are my comments. Let's make sure that the project really sees the light of day, that the community is encouraged and included in workshops and in reviews and evaluations. Thank you.
Commissioner Fowler Payne.
I had a couple of comments. One to the planning department. I know our water situation when it was evaluated took into consideration all of our residential zoning designation. This wasn't at that point residential. So to me, this is, if you put residential on this, it's going to over impact or it's going to increase what we already had projected. So, you know, had a problem with that. And maybe if this does move forward, then we need to reevaluate how much water use is going to be here. The other thing is, and I think I might have another question for you, but a study session, a workshop with the surrounding property owners. I think in light of the church's finances and time frame for them dealing with it, and I mean, we've had projects come back before us and then they go back and get designed, and every time we do that, it costs time and money. So my suggestion is before a full set of plans and EIR and everything are developed and spend a lot of money on is, you know, let's see a workshop with surrounding neighbors and not just the 300 feet. I mean, we need to extend that out far enough to accommodate for the estate homes on the hill. This is going to be an impact on the existing residents that have been there for 60 years, too. And, you know, they already have a problem with the high school parking on those streets. You know, I've had friends that lived over there. But so I think, you know, that scheduling a study session and a workshop with all the property owners before you even carry this any further to spend all the money on redesign and then get their input and then have to change everything. The other thing, and for Pastor Kochel, was, you know, and we had talked about this project some years ago, and it was my impression at that time it was going to be like a sports complex and that you guys were going to revitalize the baseball softball field. I think, you know, that is also a good community project as well, and it wouldn't create the traffic impact during the coming and going from school because those sports activities would be after school. So at worst case scenario, I could see, you know, another softball or baseball diamond there where it was before, and you know, the youth would be able to utilize it that way. That, or instead of having this higher density residential and the transitional housing and the low cost housing for families, I don't think this is a good place for families either, because there's just the density and the number of the population that would be there. I could see a senior residential housing complex where maybe these people, I mean, they don't have to be like a Wyndham Hall or any that's over on Elm Street, but if you had a senior project, you wouldn't have people impacting that access during the school hours. I mean, chances are they're going to be retired and they're not going to be coming and going to create more traffic on that. I know that I turned off there on that exit one day and I got stuck. I could go nowhere. I was in a hurry, which wasted a lot of time. There was no way I could make a left-hand turn. Not at all when school got out that day. And so I was stuck. I had to make a right-hand turn, go all the way down to Halcyon, over to Grand, and then back around to get to my house in the village, which was, you know, outrageous. But I could see, you know, an older senior retirement development there and reduce the density, and you don't want to have three stories because, you know, seniors don't want to go up and downstairs anyway. But the other thing was on this transitional housing, I cannot see that. And, you know, there was several comments on the closeness to the school, and I had mentioned that myself. I'm aware of drug addicts going in and out of it, and it takes many years to get them back on the right path. I've gone and experienced that with one of my daughters. But in addition to that, and I'm not sure, but aren't you still doing the trivia in school?
They're there 2 days a week.
And that's a grammar school facility, and it was, and I don't know now, but there was about 150 children attending that trivia in school. And so now you're putting rehabilitated teenagers or young 20-year-olds in the same facility with kids from K kindergarten through 6th, 7th, 8th grade or whatever that age range is, and I think that's just a little bit too close. I know we monitor liquor stores and bars from school districts, so I think that transitional housing for whatever addictions they have needs to be maintained the same way, not that close to school. And, you know, sad to say, but if you put rehab drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever in here, that's going to look attractive to some high school students. That's going to be, hey, great, you know. So I get involved with drugs, but look what, you know, these people have a really nice place to live. So even though that's not the intent when you start it, you've got that mentality looking at it that way. So I'm not at all in favor of the transitional housing. And I've been involved with Teen Challenge in the past, and I think it's a very good organization. It just doesn't seem to fit in this location with two school facilities there. The other thing is, and this was for planning, you know, when I was educated in planning, there was a system that's called sprawling, and you have your higher density closer to your city core, and then you've got out here your estate homes, and then your low density, and this is putting high density immediately adjacent to estate homes, and I don't think that's fair to them. And one gentleman mentioned that, you know, they bought there knowing what the zoning designation was here, and then to have to change it to a high density like that when you already have a traffic and a water problem, I think is just not acceptable either. So again, my recommendation is let's do a good study session on it before they go out and spend any more money. Thank you.
So the problem with going last is I pretty much have nothing left to say because, you know, everyone says it all. The one thing I will add to the transitional housing is there is a need for it, and there's never a good place for it. And anywhere it will be proposed, someone will come and say that there's something nearby that will be adversely affected by it. The proximity to the high school is definitely a tragedy in this case because that housing needs to be had somewhere. I would like to explore maybe you can come up with a set of criteria and ways to monitor. The way that you had presented the transitional housing to us wasn't that it would just be open rentals like everything else. It seems like it's very controlled with the 6 months to a year. And that you would be in charge of that and not people's self-help. So I wouldn't necessarily scrap that. I would definitely make it a much more stringent criteria to who would get to live there and how they would be monitored, something that you can present to the community that maybe would make them feel a little safer. I would definitely reach out to the school board and talk to them and get their feedback, because right now their feedback is no, you know, absolutely not. And definitely the neighborhood focus groups, I believe, is definitely where you need to start and get as much input as you can, understanding a little bit that we do have a NIMBY issue in our community here. Every project that comes before us, for the most part, the neighbors will come and say they're opposed to it. Whether or not it's a good project, it's just we just don't ever want anything in our backyard. There is something to be said about the people who have an expectation of what is around them when they purchase their home, and it's difficult for us to change zoning knowing that. So we just have to weigh the pros and cons. And what you're trying to do is so amazing, and I applaud you for it, and I definitely believe there's a need for it. I just wish you were just a little bit, you know, further back. But it is what it is. And I would recommend you move forward with it, but move forward cautiously, understanding that you're going to hit a lot of roadblocks. Traffic is going to be a huge issue. Water is a huge issue. But other than that, you know, I don't know how the Diablo Canyon closure would come into effect here. I don't know how many Diablo Canyon employees actually live in our community, and once that closes, what opens up as far as housing in our area. That might be something just, you know, it looks like the timing is going to be kind of right around the same time, so something to look into as well. Other than that, I appreciate you coming forward. I appreciate the effort that you're doing, and you're trying to help in the needs of the community. And I wish you a lot of luck. It's a long road ahead that you'll have.
Well, let me say this in closing. I appreciate the input, and we will be doing some focus group studies and coming up with taking these comments, making some changes, and presenting to the neighborhood a couple of ideas and getting input that way. One solution would be, what's the possibility of moving the high school? I'm kidding. We're just having fun here. Thank you all so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Staff, is there anything else you'd like from us regarding this item?
I think this is very informative, and as intended, the pre-application is to invite some critique and also express what parts of the project are desirable and in going forward. So I appreciate the applicant bringing this forward as well, and everybody who showed up to give their comment and listen. And we'll be talking to the applicant to see how to proceed forward.
Great. Thank you for coming out and expressing your comments, and hopefully they will be taken into consideration when the project moves forward to the next phase. And we're going to move on to the notice of administrative decisions since November 21st. And we had two decisions, one on Grand and Elm properties, the establishment of a new urgent care facility, as well as one on Sierra Drive, the establishment of a vacation rental in a residential district. Did the commissioners have any questions regarding any of these items?
No.
No?
Yes.
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to ask planning. How is that working out with these vacation rentals? Are you getting a response from them as far as... are they rented? Are they contributing to their 10%, or is it just not happening? Is it the wrong time of the year? Do you have any kind of...
We haven't had a ton come through permitted. We did provide an annual status report to council a couple months ago. I can't remember the exact number. I think it was 6 new ones for homestays and 6 rentals, vacation rentals. So we've not so far run into the issue where two wanted to locate on one block. We're just waiting for that to happen because that's we do have a spacing requirement, you may recall. But otherwise, the permitted units are performing fine. Once in a while, we'll receive questions regarding if people have received information from the property owner about the contact location. That seems to be one thing that sometimes comes up, but generally not a overwhelming concern.
One other question about that. Are they paying the same 10% bed tax as hotels are for vacation rentals and Airbnbs or whatever?
They are subject to the TOT.
Well, I have kind of a concern around that or a comment around it. They're paying the same 10%. Granted, it's, you know, one unit and it's maybe $2,000 a night, so maybe $200 that they're paying for that night, where hotels, you know, have a higher volume, but they're still paying that 10%, but they're not getting the price break on the water that hotels are. And I think that that's just kind of an unfair balance. And if you're going to have, if you're going to be required to pay the 10%, then you should be put on the same water payment schedule as hotels, which would decrease their water assessments on a monthly basis, because they're not going to have, just like a hotel, they don't have control over your tenants and how much water they use. So by the time they paid the 10% to the city, if you got people in there that use an excessive amount of water and you got used over your allotment and you had to pay the $100 penalty, you know, it gets to the point where it's not even profitable for them to do. So that's my comment.
Vice Chair Keane.
Yes, I took a drive past this Sierra Drive place. I don't know if anybody else did or not. The drive is really steep right down into there, which would preclude anybody hardly from parking on it. And when you come out of there, your vision is really obscured. So it's okay for a resident that lives there, that knows what to look for and get to in and out of his house. But when you start putting people from wherever trying to make those decisions there, I think this one really needs a close look at about the accessibility of it. For people that don't know where they're going or anything. So just a food for somebody to look at. Also, I was looking on the website for this ordinance. There was some questions I had about things that, and for some reason I can't get it. Probably just because I don't know how, but I looked a couple of times and I just get to it and then it won't come up. So I have some concerns about it and found out that I was on the commission when this was passed. So hopefully I can remember what we passed. Thank you.
I'll certainly look into making sure it is searchable and the folks can find the ordinance on the website.
Does the VRBO override the VRBO permit override HOA, or does HOA rules override the VRBO permit?
The HOA rules can still apply to their neighborhood, so they would have to comply with those in addition to.
So if an HOA says there's no vacation rentals allowed, then it doesn't matter if they're permitted by the city.
That's technically correct, but it would be between the HOA and the property owner.
Right. Did the commissioners have any communications this evening? Okay. Staff communications?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Are we still going to be scheduled for the next planning commission on the 21st or the 20th? I mean, with Christmas that week, or are they?
Yes, I believe we do have a couple items on that agenda. Perhaps I'll take this opportunity to make sure we have a quorum. Will folks be in town and available?
What are the items that are going to be on the agenda? Do you know yet?
One is a cellular facility application. And I can't remember the other one offhand.
I just was curious whether they were going to, you know, cancel that meeting because of Christmas. But
that's not our intent, but of course I will need a quorum. So if we have three or more of you available, we'll hold the meeting.
Okay.
So Commissioner Martin raised his hand. He'll be here.
I'll be here.
And I'll be here.
And on our last minutes and last meeting, we're going to agendize Ash Street. Is that going to happen soon?
Oh, yes. Ash Street, the tree concerns and so forth. We have inquired as to when the Public Works Director would be able to be in attendance. And I believe that is scheduled for this second meeting in January.
Concern is if we let it drift on too long, the project's going to be built before we discuss it.
Concern noted. I believe that the intent is to evaluate items that have already happened, but we can do our best to see if we can address the conditions earlier than that. It's just running into the holidays and availability.
I guess the question would be, are there building permits being pulled now for those homes? Has any permits been pulled?
I do not believe any permits have been pulled.
So that would be a concern depending on what the Planning Commission would like to see happen, whether more trees need to be planted in their place where they were, or drip lines being respected. I mean, there's issues there that really need to, the new owner needs to be aware, hopefully sooner than later.
We'll certainly double-check timelines of construction and those concerns perhaps being impacted. I think we're safe for the second meeting in January, but I'll certainly we'll certainly double-check.
Fair enough.
Can there be a restriction put on that, not issue any building permits until this issue is resolved with the tree, since he was in conflict of what the staff report said?
Certainly the project would could be halted if the conditions of approval are not met. So, and if that determination still needs to occur, then that would be a that's a routine step we make. I'm not sure if that's the case here. I think there's a, you know, per our ordinance, the tree ordinance, the problem was identified and remedied. And I believe the commission is interested in exploring whether that remedy is sufficient, but per the ordinance, the steps were taken.
Vice Chair Keene?
I noticed on the ARC agenda yesterday, those six houses were on that agenda, and I just wondered what the outcome was. Did they recommend that you okay them?
I have not been able to check in on the outcome of that meeting just by virtue of being held up all day myself, so I'm very, very curious as well. I believe they took time on each of those, but I'll have to report back once I learn the outcome and the recommendation to me.
Was the ARC made aware that there was a problem there with the trees at that meeting?
I believe so. I would have to confirm.
I know that I read someplace in the, I think it was the ARC staff thing, that there was to make sure that the houses were outside the drip lines. Now, I don't know whether that means the drip lines now or the drip lines before, but that was mentioned in the staff report.
I'm certainly willing to, happy to check in on that. And additional information, I just I'm hesitant to get into too much back and forth on the project, given it's on commission questions.
Have you been to the site? And if you haven't, you might want to drive by and look, but the neighbors there, when the tree was removed that wasn't supposed to be taken out, have made a cross. They have it staked there for the tree. So that's kind of funny, but I can understand. They're not happy about it either.
Are we adjourned? Or am I still taking?
Yeah, we're on commission communications.
Thank you.
We have staff communications now.
I'd just like to note we're having a Bridge Street Bridge stakeholders meeting tomorrow morning at 9, and that project is coming along well, and we anticipate once we get through at that meeting, we will be bringing it forward to Planning Commission for the environmental review within the next few months.
Is there any update on the traffic study for parking? Not traffic, but parking study.
We took comments from the previous discussion and are incorporating them into a request for proposals.
Okay, I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Meeting adjourned.